This is the lecture for August 1996. The title of the lecture is The Pedigree of Jesus Christ. This is one of the most important lectures you will ever hear, simply because it discusses the most important subject you could ever comprehend. And yet, it is one of the most misunderstood teachings of the Bible. The fact is, hardly anyone today recognizes the truth about the pedigree or the genealogical lineage of Jesus Christ. This is in spite of the fact that Jesus is given two separate genealogies in the New Testament alone. And there are several other statements about his genealogy in the Bible. For example, that he would be reckoned a son of Judah, and he would be a descendant of King David of Israel. But again, I repeat, in spite of these clear and plain teachings of the Old and New Testaments, or what appear to be plain teachings, there is hardly a person who really and thoroughly understands the actual pedigree of Jesus Christ. As a result, all of us do not recognize our own spiritual heritage that we have being in Him. Because the Bible tells us, and the New Testament specifically states, that each of us is reckoned to be in Him. We are determined by God, and it's agreed to by the heavenly family, that each of us, you and me and all Christians together, are associated with Jesus Christ in His heritage. We are a part of the same heritage. Now, the Bible says we are all, quote, in Christ, unquote. So, since we are in Christ, this means we share in His pedigree in one way or another, because to be in Him means to be with Him in all spheres of activity. Now, He is the firstborn. He is the first Son of God. We are children of God, too. But we are reckoned to be in Him. We are shown in the Bible to be in Christ. So first, let us look at our own spiritual heritage that each of us has, because we are all reckoned in the New Testament spiritually to be in Christ Jesus. We need to know who we are as Christians. We know our own pedigree, that is, most of us know our own father or mother, not all, but most. But we see others that know their father and their mother. But we are attached to Jesus Christ, and He is the firstborn of the Father in heaven. We have a Father in heaven. Do you know your pedigree from the Father in heaven? Are you sure you know your lineage and your heritage, which you have from Jesus Christ, the first Son of the living God and the only begotten Son of the living God, the firstborn? That's what we need to know. That is what the Bible is all about. The New Testament just adds to what the Old Testament was teaching and brings us up to date with the thorough knowledge of God, the complete, the mature, the advanced knowledge of why we are here on this earth, where we are going, and better yet, just who we are. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, in this last letter that he ever wrote, that appears in our New Testament in the canon, the divine canon of the Bible. He speaks of God in verse 8, and then in verse 9 he starts with a pronoun here, referring to God the Father, saying, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, that is, God's own purpose and grace, which was given us altogether. Paul is including himself. He's including Timothy. He's including you and me, reading it now some 1900 years later. Still, it includes us, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what the King James Version says. It means before the ages actually commenced. Before Adam and Eve were ever created and put on earth, God had a purpose. God had a plan. And you were in that plan. You, perfect, as a person, as an individual. And the Apostle Paul was in that plan. And Jesus Christ was certainly in that plan. But all of us are in the same plan because we are and were reckoned to be in Christ Jesus. That's most important. We have been given these blessings, this holy calling, the grace, salvation, actually, as a result of our being in Christ. before Adam and Eve were ever created on earth. Now, that's exactly what it says in the scripture, and I hope you believe that, rather than believing men or women who tell you that you weren't. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear, and he is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we were called in Christ Jesus and put in him before the foundation of the world. That's why no works happens to be required of us, because we were in Christ Jesus before any works were ever done by us, either good or bad. Now, that does not mean we shouldn't do good works. We are created to do good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. But because we are created to do works, and we should do good works, those good works are not the means that we achieve to gain salvation, because salvation was something given to us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Our pedigree is to be associated with Christ Jesus. Our heritage is intimately entwined and associated with him. You go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 14 very quickly here, just to see our attachment to Jesus Christ. And you see, the reason I'm giving you this is because our heritage is interconnected with his heritage. His pedigree is very important, because if we're going to be in him, we're going to be attached to that same pedigree, that same genealogical stem that comes forth from the Father in heaven. And that is what the New Testament teaching is all about, specifically of the mystery, the great secret that the Apostle Paul was given, and others, near the end of their lives, which we find here in the Bible, particularly in the books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and also 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Here we come to Ephesians, and here's what the Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places," as it is in the King James. It means up there in the heavens. But how are we blessed with all spiritual blessings? He ends the sentence by saying, in Christ. It's being in Christ that grants to us the same spiritual blessings that Jesus Christ himself had before the foundation of the world. The same blessings that Jesus Christ has now at this present time. And the same spiritual blessings that Jesus Christ will always have in the future. Because his heritage is to be the firstborn son of the living God. And each of you, all of us together, are destined to be in Christ. That is what the teaching of the Bible is all about. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1. According as he hath chosen us in him. Here it is again. Before the foundation of the world. Before the disruption of this world. Before the ages ever commenced, of which you and I are familiar at the present time. Now that's a long time ago, isn't it? It's long before you ever came into this world. It's long before your own physical parents knew anything about you. Long time ago. We were chosen in him, in Christ, back at that period of time, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's right. Be actually justified. You know, the word justification means to be made holy, to be made righteous. Not because we are righteous, but if we are connected to Jesus Christ and he is righteous, that makes us righteous. And you know, we ought to be acting like Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, as best we possibly can. But God looks upon us as being in him. And we have been in him before the foundation of the world. Look at it there again in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Notice the word adoption there. Adoption is a legal term. It's not an actual birth from two parents, with the father supplying the sperm and the mother supplying the ovum. That's the normal way that we find human reproduction, and all animal reproduction, as a matter of fact. We might even say a vegetable reproduction in the higher classes of the flora, and also the fauna. So we find that the Bible actually is saying here that we ourselves are destined to be children by adoption. And that adoption, by the way, is just as legal and just as accurate as if it were the actual physical, or shall I say spiritual, conception by a spiritual sperm and a spiritual ovum. However we word it, we are chosen to be children, to be the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to Christ, according to the goodwill of a good purpose pleasure, I should say, of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God has made us accepted as a child of his in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Didn't say our grace, of his grace. It goes on, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery, that is, the secret of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's way out yonder, in the time when the plan of God and the purpose of God will find complete and utter and thorough fulfillment, at that time of the fullness of times, at that dispensation, he might gather, that is, God might gather together in one corporate whole, all things in Christ, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth. Even in him, they're all going to be brought together into a one-ship, all plural into one. And that one is Christ, in whom, that is Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. That means a pedigree, the same pedigree that Jesus Christ has. That's what we have to recognize. It's most important that you understand the pedigree of Jesus Christ, because I'll tell you this, you have been adopted into it. You are a part of it. You are a participant in that same inheritance that Jesus Christ now has and has had before the foundation of the world. And he says, Paul does, being predestinated, that means a long time ago, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Not your will, not my will, after the counsel of his own will. That's God the Father's will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you have trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, that is Christ, also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, of our pedigree, of what we are to achieve in the future, and to be given to us on a plate by grace, so to speak. All right? It's the earnest of the Spirit. You have a little bit of the Spirit, which absolutely is your guarantee that you're going to have the fullness of the Spirit, which will lead you into a full and complete and thorough relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll be completely in him, and by being in him, you'll be in the Father. And you will then obtain the same spiritual inheritance. You will then have the same pedigree that Jesus Christ himself has, because you are attached to him. Now, that is the teaching of the Bible. Now, let me sum up very quickly what he said in Colossians. He said that when Jesus Christ came into this world, God recognized you as being in him at that time. When he grew up in Nazareth, God reckoned you as being in him at that time. When he was baptized by John the Baptist, just read it there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. It said you were baptized at the same time Jesus was baptized, because Jesus was your substitute. You see, Jesus was perfect. Jesus had a perfect pedigree. Jesus had a perfect inheritance. Jesus had a perfect sinlessness. And you have been placed in him. You know, he was baptized by John the Baptist, not for his own sins, but for yours, because you were in him at the time. And you became clean as a result of what he went through. When he died on the tree of crucifixion, you died on the tree of crucifixion. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21, 2:21, and also through chapter 3, and in other places. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, you were resurrected legally from the dead. And chapter 3 of Colossians says that when Jesus went back to heaven, sat on the right hand of the Father, you sat right there at the same place with him legally, and that's an actual thing. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says that we today, at this very moment here in 1996, at the time I'm making this lecture or at the time you are hearing it, you are legally sitting in Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ. That is, in a legal sense. And God the Father recognizes you as having the same inheritance, the same genealogical stem, the same pedigree as does Jesus Christ. And you also inherit his sinlessness. Now, you're not sin-free now. How many of you have sinned? Well, you sin practically daily. You shouldn't, and we don't want to, but you know you have victory over that. And you shouldn't let sins get you down, because I'll tell you what, we have redemption, we have salvation over all of them, because we are in Christ. So, what is the title of this lecture? The title is, What is the Pedigree of Christ? Or the Pedigree of Jesus Christ? I'm just telling you at the beginning, we need to determine what that pedigree is. Because when you see and understand and recognize what the pedigree of Jesus Christ is, now you're understanding your own pedigree. Because your genealogical table goes right on back to him before Adam was ever created. Oh, yes, we go back to Adam and Eve in a physical sense, but you go back spiritually before that time. Because you were in Christ Jesus before the foundation of this world and in the plan of God. And God was going to and does and did redeem you before the foundation of the world. Now, he didn't bring Christ into the world until some 4,000 years after Adam. And Christ went through various things that he did here to redeem us to the Father. We know that by his crucifixion, by his resurrection, by the things that he did at the time that he did them. But it was in the plan of God that that would all be done. Do you know it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world? That is, slain before the foundation? No, he wasn't actually. But it was in the purpose of God that he would be. You see, you were saved and made free of sin before the foundation of the world. And God is going to make it certain that you do accomplish exactly what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Because, not because of what you do. Not because of what you don't do. But because of what Christ did and what the Father does. What you ought to be looking at in the scripture is how you got saved, not how to get saved. If you want to find out how to get saved, that means you've got to have some things to do yourself. No, it's not what you do to get yourself saved. It's what God the Father and Christ did that got you saved. There is the teaching of Christianity, and that is what the teaching of the Apostle Paul is all about. Okay, we are in Christ, but who is Christ? What is his pedigree? And especially, where and what is his inheritance? You see, if we can know that, then we, being attached to him, can then finally discover what our own pedigree, our own inheritance is. We are given in the Bible two pedigrees, or genealogical tables, lineages of Jesus Christ. They're both in the New Testament. And they both give physical lineages. However, the book of Luke goes all the way back beyond Adam to God. That is God the Father. And we all come from God. We all come from Adam and Eve, who were created by God. And the creation processes are still going on. Every time you see little babies being born on this earth, you're seeing God's creation at hand. He's still bringing his children into the world. And they need to know their pedigree. You need to know your pedigree. And you'll know it once you understand the pedigree of Jesus Christ. Now, the first genealogical table is given right at the very beginning of the New Testament, even in the original inspired version. It comes from Matthew. And Matthew, at the very beginning, tells his Jewish readers, and primarily he was writing to the Jews, that's why he comes first in of the four Gospels, and he talks about this generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. The reason he introduces the life of Christ, or the special life of Christ that he is giving here, which is not a thorough history, but it's a specialized history, why he is giving the genealogical section first, his pedigree, is because the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come. And that Messiah was to come through David. That was the political Messiah. We have found out by looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls, however, that many Jews in the time of Christ and before were looking for another Messiah to come from Aaron. But he was not the political Messiah. He was not the real Christ. The real Christ was the political Messiah that's mentioned in the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And also the one to be born of a virgin and all of that. Coming from David. In other words, David's son. The first thing that a Jew would ask, if someone said, I saw the Christ the other day, he would say, why do you call him the Christ? Because of the great miracles and teaching that he had. The next question that would come up after that would be, was he or is he or can he prove that he is a son of David? And the person says, well, I'm a little in doubt about that. Well, say, if you're a little doubt about that, then you're a little in doubt about his messiahship. Because absolutely, without the slightest doubt, it showed in the Old Testament that he was to be born of David. He was actually to be born in Bethlehem, not up in Nazareth. Now, you know, Jesus was actually grew up in Nazareth, and that was a problem for some people. Remember Nathanael, what he said? He said, can any good come out of Nazareth? What he meant was, there's no prophecy in the scripture that the Messiah would come from Nazareth. The prophecy was he would come from Bethlehem. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that's true. And genealogically speaking, legally speaking, he was a son of David. Now, I'll tell you why he was a son of David, because his father was a son of David. And the first genealogical table that we have here is one leading up to Joseph, who was called legally the father of Jesus. But to make it clear that everyone understands that this is only a legal generation, a legal genealogy here, and not an actual one, we're even told in verse 18 on down that Mary was actually a virgin at the time of the conception of Jesus Christ. So it was not Joseph's sperm that was used to produce Jesus. So in actual fact, this genealogical table that we find here, the 14 generations from Adam down to David, the 14 generations from David down to the Babylonian captivity, and then the 14 ideal generations down to the coming of Jesus himself, that all of these individuals mentioned here, coming from the line of David, one of the lines of David, actually comes down to Joseph. That's true. But Joseph was not his father. That is his actual father. And the rest of the first chapter shows that it was the Holy Spirit that produced the child Jesus in the womb of Mary. And the child was actually to be called not only Jesus, that's true. The angel Gabriel said to call him Jesus, which means Yah saves. Yah is my Savior. That is the I Am, the Yahweh is my Savior. But he also had another name, a spiritual name and a prophetic name. And that name was Emmanuel, God with us. Not Adam with us, God with us. So there were certain special characteristics associated with this birth that has not been associated with any other birth ever to occur on earth. Because the Holy Spirit is what caused the conception in Mary's womb, as you might think in Mary's womb. I'm going to have a little bit to say on that in just a moment, though. The first thing you have to realize, though, is that this genealogical table that you find in Matthew here, which leads down to Joseph, is not Christ's actual pedigree. It's not. Not even intended to be. It is, however, his legal pedigree as far as his kingship is concerned, because Joseph could prove he came from David. And Christ, then, being his firstborn son in a legal sense, meant legally by adoption, you see, he took him to be his own. Now, let me tell you this. In the Old Testament and in the New, adoption was just as important and just as powerful as legal conception, and you must understand that. Some of you have been adopted, probably, and you say, well, I'm an inferior person to somebody else. Oh, no, in the family. No, you're not. You are reckoned as a part of that family if you are legally adopted, you see, and the Bible absolutely demands it. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, remember there, it says, all of us are adopted children of God. And I tell you, that's not an inferior status. We are just as legally considered children as is Christ Jesus himself, who is an actual firstborn of God, because we're in him. Oh, no, the adoption process is legal. So we do have here a pedigree of Jesus Christ, but it's not his actual pedigree. It is his legal pedigree to show that he then fulfilled the legal requirements that the Messiah would come from David. I'm going to show you in a few minutes, however, that even though it says in the Old Testament that he would come from David, it's only in a legal sense. And also that he would come from Judah. Now, David came from Judah, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But you're going to find out that even that prophecy that he would come from Judah is of a legal consequence. Just as accurate In God's eyes, and that's all that counts here, just remember this, that's all that counts. However, once you recognize who is doing the speaking here, the Holy Spirit, then this genealogical table here becomes a part of the pedigree of Jesus Christ. But it's not an actual pedigree. You can actually eliminate all of these names here, and you would still have the pedigree of Jesus Christ that I'm going to give you in a little bit. A very different type of a pedigree. A pedigree that you can be attached to. Because I want to tell you, if you attach to this pedigree right here, do you know that you are even disqualified from being a Messiah in this pedigree right here, in this line? Now remember, there are two pedigrees mentioned in the New Testament. One in Matthew here, and the other is Luke. I haven't got to Luke yet. But you know, there is a statement inside this genealogical table right here that disqualifies this list right here from being a son of David leading up to the Messiah. That's a fact, and I'm going to give it to you in just a few moments. I'm going to have to turn over the side of this tape in just a second, but I'll give it to you there. But I want you to know that this is a legal type of pedigree. It is not an actual one. It is the one which legally allows the prophecies of the Old Testament that he would come from the seed of Mary, of the woman, of the seed of Judah, and of the seed of David. It's a legal pedigree to satisfy that. But Jesus Christ's pedigree actually did not come from any human being. His pedigree leads to his name, Emmanuel, because he was God with us. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture, and we will continue with the pedigree of Jesus Christ.